To play this game, you will need a public building with at least 10 floors, an elevator, and one player. That's you. You enter the elevator on the ground floor. It must be empty. You must be alone. If at any point another person should enter the elevator, you must return to the ground floor and begin again. You press the button for the fourth floor. Do not exit the elevator when you arrive there. You press the button for the second floor, then the sixth, back down to the second, then all the way to the tenth. You press the button for the fifth floor. Here, a woman will enter the elevator with you. Do not look at her. Do not speak. She is not of this world. If you acknowledge her in any way, she may decide to keep your soul for her own. You press the button for the first floor. The elevator will either ascend or descend. If it reaches the first floor, leave immediately and do not look back. If the elevator reaches the 10th floor, leave and do not respond if the woman asks what's wrong or where you are going. Her voice will be unnatural when she says this. Do not turn back. Who knows what you might see waiting for you in that elevator. The mysterious death of Elisa Lam. A bite-sized fright. This series contains disturbing content. Listener discretion is advised. You are now in the other world. You will be utterly alone. Neither your phone nor any other electronic devices will work. This world will seem very similar to our own, but all the lights will be off. The only thing you will be able to see from the windows is a red cross burning in the distance. In order to get back to the real world, you must return to the elevator and visit the floors in the same order as before. However, this may be more difficult than it seems. You may become disorientated and forget which elevator you took to arrive at this sinister, otherworldly dimension. The elevator itself may seem to get further and further away from you as you try to approach it. Keep your wits about you. When you reach the ground floor on your return journey, check your surroundings very carefully. If anything doesn't seem quite right, even the smallest detail, do not exit the elevator. Do not take a single step outside of it. This is not your world. You may be lost forever. Repeat the steps of the journey until everything is as it should be. Should you pass out or faint whilst in this other world, you will likely wake up at home. If this happens, you should remain highly vigilant. This home may not be the same one you left before you played this game, and who knows who or what you might have brought back with you. The Elevator Game is an internet challenge that originated in Japan and South Korea. Whilst unsettling in its own right, the game gained true notoriety when it was implicated in the mysterious death of 21-year-old Canadian student Elisa Lam. In early 2013, Elisa left her home in British Columbia, Canada, and traveled south, headed for California. This solo trip was to be a getaway, a vacation from her university studies. Her parents, originally from Hong Kong, were reluctant to let their daughter travel alone, but they relented on the condition that she contact them every day whilst she was away. Elisa visited San Diego, and on the 28th of January 2013, she checked into the Cecil Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. She was initially given space in a shared room on the fifth floor of the hotel, but was moved into a room of her own 2 days later, after roommates complained about her odd behavior. Elisa had a history of mental illness, having been diagnosed with depression and bipolar disorder. However, Elisa seemed fairly content. She called her parents every day. She explored downtown Los Angeles, visited bookstores, and chatted with shopkeepers. Then, on the 31st of January, Elisa's contact with her parents abruptly stopped. When they couldn't get hold of her, and discovered that Elisa had not checked out of the Cecil Hotel on that day as planned, they alerted the Los Angeles Police Department. A search of the hotel and the surrounding area was conducted. The police even brought sniffer dogs through the building and onto the hotel roof. They found nothing. Elisa had seemingly vanished into thin air. A week passed, then two. Elisa's parents flew to Los Angeles to aid in the search. On the 15th of February, the LAPD released a video showing the last known sighting of Elisa. It was taken from the security camera inside one of the elevators in the Cecil Hotel. It was this footage that brought worldwide interest to the mysterious disappearance of Elisa Lam. In the clip, Elisa can be seen behaving strangely. She seems to push a few buttons, selecting numerous floors, then attempts to hide in the corner of the elevator. When the doors do not close, she leans her head out and glances both ways down the hallway, then quickly steps back, pressing herself up against one of the elevator walls. She briefly leaves and disappears for a few seconds before returning, pushing several more buttons and moving erratically. The doors remain stubbornly open. Elisa steps back into the hallway, moving her arms in unsettling, oddly contorted motions. She appears to be talking to someone, though she is seemingly alone. After a few more erratic, jerking hand movements, Elisa moves down the hallway and out of sight. Several seconds later, the elevator doors finally close. This video is widely available online and is disturbing, to say the least. For those investigating Elisa's disappearance, it provided more questions than it did answers. The search seemed hopeless. Then, on the morning of the 19th of February, almost 3 weeks after Elisa was first reported missing, maintenance worker Santiago Lopez was responding to complaints made by numerous guests staying at the Cecil Hotel. Santiago Lopez hurried across the lobby, his tool bag jangling in his fist. He had dodged a handful of journalists and television news cameras on his way into the hotel, all of them here to report on the disappearance of that poor girl, Elisa. Santiago pressed the call button for the elevator and glanced around. The Cecil had always felt off to him. It had a bad reputation as a hotspot for murder, suicides, and reported paranormal activity. Not one, but two serial killers had even briefly called the place home. But now that this girl had vanished from the hotel, well, it had added a new layer to the unsettling atmosphere of this place. The elevator arrived, and Santiago stepped inside with a barely suppressed shiver. He had seen that video on the news, and in the last few days had found himself jumping at shadows. But he had a job to do. Guests had been complaining about the low water pressure in their rooms for a few weeks now. Santiago had checked the faucets, the toilets, and the shower systems. Everything seemed to be in working order. Management had initially dismissed the complaints. The Cecil Hotel was almost 100 years old. These people couldn't expect everything to work perfectly all the time. But the grumbling from the guests had not gone away, and now some were complaining that the water had an odd taste and was often discolored, black or gray. So Santiago was headed to the roof to inspect the 4 tanks, 1,000 gallons each, that provided water to the rooms, the kitchen, and the hotel coffee shop. The elevator doors slid slowly open on the 15th floor. Santiago hurried out, glad to escape the gloomy space where Elisa had been filmed acting so strangely. He started to climb the staircase that led to the roof access. He hoped that the girl was okay, safe somewhere. Maybe she'd run off with some secret lover. A whirlwind holiday romance, perhaps. Or left her old life behind and gone to seek her fortune in Hollywood. That's what people do in L.A., isn't it? He thought to himself. Santiago reached the rooftop door. He punched in his access code to disable the alarm, then unlocked the door with his staff key. He stepped out, blinking in the sudden brightness. Crossing the roof, Santiago took the 10-foot inspection ladder and carried it over to where the water tanks loomed, huddled together on a raised platform. He clambered up onto the platform and positioned his ladder against the closest tank. As the ladder clanged against the huge metal cylinder, a sudden feeling of unease crept over the maintenance worker. He glanced over his shoulder. The roof was deserted. He was alone. He shivered despite the warm Californian sun on his back. He began to ascend the ladder, noticing immediately that the tank's roof hatch was already partially opened. Santiago fumbled for his flashlight. He flicked it on, pried the hatch lid open fully, and very slowly poked his head inside. Elisa Lam floated, face up in the murky water a few feet below him. She was naked, her body rotting, green-tinged and bloated. Santiago Lopez stared down in horror. Elisa's clouded, bulging eyes gazed back at him. Santiago opened his mouth and began to scream. The search for Elisa was over. The police were summoned, and the water tank was drained. A hole had to be cut from the side of the tank in order to remove the dead girl's remains. An autopsy was performed. The coroner could find no evidence of murder, sexual assault, or suicide. The toxicology report showed traces of her prescription medication and a tiny amount of alcohol. Elisa's death was tentatively ruled an accidental drowning, possibly brought about by her experiencing a manic episode. This rather vague explanation did not satisfy the public. Elisa's odd behavior in the days before her disappearance and the mysterious circumstances surrounding her death left people crying out for answers. How does somebody accidentally drown in a rooftop water tank? How did Elisa even get on the roof in the first place? The hotel management had confirmed that the roof door was securely locked and fitted with an alarm, with only certain staff members having the required access keys. In order to even reach the water tanks from the roof, Elisa would have had to climb an emergency ladder above the stairwell, cross the platform, and jump down onto the tank roof. Not impossible by any means, but certainly not likely to have occurred by accident. Rumors and theories had already begun to swirl around the internet. Elisa had been killed as part of a ritual sacrifice. She had been the test subject for some experimental drug. She had been assassinated. Fuel was added to this fire when it emerged that the elevator video showing Elisa's last known sighting had been doctored before its release. The time code had been deliberately obscured, and some parts of the video seemed as though they had been slowed down. On closer inspection, it appeared that a full minute of footage had been edited out entirely. It was unclear whether this tampering was carried out by the police, or if they had received the footage in this state to begin with. Either way, this led to talk of conspiracy, concealment of evidence, and murder. Internet sleuths offered up a range of potential suspects. Elisa had written in her blog that she was having trouble with creepers at the hotel, and that she felt as though someone might be following her. The fact that Elisa somehow got through a locked door to reach the roof without triggering an alarm has led many to speculate that hotel staff could have been involved in her murder. Perhaps this would explain the missing minute of footage cleverly erased from the surveillance tapes before Elisa's body was discovered. There were even rumors of a high-level cover-up, that the altered elevator video and seemingly incomplete autopsy report were designed to protect the identity of some mysterious, influential figure, the real killer. There are other, more disturbing theories. The video documenting Elisa's odd behavior in the Cecil Hotel has led many to wonder if she had been playing the elevator game, as mentioned at the beginning of this episode. Elisa frantically presses numerous buttons in the elevator, seemingly with increasing desperation. Was she trying to get back to our world, but struggling to remember the correct order of buttons to press? It has been pointed out that Elisa certainly appears to believe that she is not alone in that empty elevator. At certain moments it does seem that she is conversing with someone that only she can see. At other times, she looks to be cowering in fright. Was she hiding from, or trying to reason with, the woman who gets on at the fifth floor? The rules of the game indicate that if you engage with this woman in any way, she will follow you home into the real world. Some of those who claim to have played the game report seeing her out of the corner of their eye, stalking them silently through the streets, in deserted stairwells or watching from distant windows. Could Elisa have been trying to flee this ominous being and taken refuge in what she believed to be the dark safety of the water tank? To this day, this unsettling theory remains hugely popular amongst those captivated by the mysterious death of Elisa Lam. Others have whispered that perhaps Elisa was just the latest in a string of unfortunate souls, those who have fallen victim to the curse that seems to haunt the Cecil Hotel. While this may sound like nothing more than superstitious mutterings, a study of the hotel's sordid history reveals some disturbing details. The Cecil Hotel first opened its doors in 1927, designed to be an upscale destination for business travelers and tourists. However, with the arrival of the Great Depression a few years later, the area around the hotel began to fall into decline. It wasn't long before the curse began to make itself known. Between 1931 and 1947, there were 9 recorded cases of human fatalities at the Cecil Hotel, either suicide or murder. Guests had hurled themselves from the upper stories, ingested poison capsules, shot themselves in their rooms, or slashed their throats with razors. A woman tossed her newborn baby from one of the high windows so that the child would not disturb her sleeping boyfriend. These deaths did nothing to aid the hotel's disturbing reputation, which was only strengthened after it was rumored that Elizabeth Short, the victim in the infamous Black Dahlia case, had been drinking in the bar at the Cecil Hotel just before her gruesome and still unsolved murder in 1947. By the 1950s, the Cecil had gained a seedy reputation as a hangout for drifters, sex workers, and drug pushers. Locals began to refer to the hotel as the suicide, and the deaths just kept on coming. In 1962, a guest jumped from her 9th-floor window and landed on a pedestrian walking below, killing them both instantly. In 1964, a hotel worker was found dead in her room. She had been beaten and stabbed to death. Her murder remains unsolved. As of 2015, there have been at least 17 unnatural deaths at the Cecil, including that of Elisa Lam. The ill-fated hotel gained further notoriety when it was revealed that it had hosted more than its fair share of serial killers. Richard Ramirez, also known as the Night Stalker, reportedly lived on the top floor of the Cecil Hotel for a few weeks in 1985. This was at the peak of his vicious spree of murderous home invasions that claimed the lives of at least 13 people. The story goes that Ramirez would dump his bloody clothes outside the hotel after committing his killings, then walk through the lobby, half naked and smeared in gore. The chaotic state of the hotel at this time made his comings and goings unremarkable. 6 years later, in 1991, the Cecil became home to Austrian serial killer Jack Unterweger, the Vienna Strangler. He strangled and killed at least 3 sex workers during his stay. Researchers believe Unterweger deliberately chose the Cecil because of its connection to Ramirez. With the sheer amount of misery and death that has occurred at the hotel, it was only natural that rumors of paranormal activity would soon follow. The Cecil has been referred to as the most haunted building in Los Angeles. Guests have reported cold spots, disembodied noises and voices, poltergeist activity, and even spectral apparitions that lurk in dark hallways or outside windows. Some have even managed to snap blurred photographs of what they believe to be some of the restless spirits that haunt the infamous hotel. Perhaps it was these paranormal entities that stalked or even possessed Elisa that night and caused her to act so strangely fearful. She certainly wouldn't be the first poor soul to be driven to desperate acts inside the Cecil Hotel. Those seeking a satisfying resolution to Elisa's death have also pointed out the sheer number of disturbing coincidences that linger around this case. In 2005, 8 years prior to Elisa's death, Touchstone Pictures released a psychological horror film titled Dark Water, starring Jennifer Connelly and Tim Roth. The plot centers around a mother and her young daughter who move into a dilapidated apartment block. After the mother suffers a series of disturbing dreams, the young girl soon begins to talk to an imaginary friend. In one scene, she converses with this invisible companion in a malfunctioning elevator. The family become plagued by seemingly paranormal occurrences. Discolored water begins to seep through the ceiling of their apartment, later revealed to be leaking from the rooftop water tank. Inside, the mother finds the rotting body of a young girl whose ghost now haunts the derelict building. If these similarities to the Elisa Lam case were not unsettling enough, the girl in the tank is found wearing a red jacket, very similar to the one Elisa can be seen wearing in the elevator surveillance tape. The mother character in Dark Water is named Dahlia. The black Dahlia, Elizabeth Short, was seen in the Cecil Hotel right before her murder. Speaking of the Cecil Hotel, the name of Dahlia's daughter in the film is Cecilia. And one more final shocking revelation. A few weeks after Elisa Lam was discovered floating in the water tank, the city of Los Angeles experienced an outbreak of the potentially deadly disease tuberculosis. It was believed to have originated in the same downtown area that the Cecil Hotel is located. The test that was used to detect tuberculosis in humans is called lipoarabinomannan enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay, more commonly referred to by the acronym LAM-ELISA, or Lam-ELISA. What do you think really happened to Elisa Lam? Was she murdered by hotel staff, or by one of the numerous unsavory characters the Cecil seemed to attract? Was she tormented by restless spirits, or an ominous entity accidentally pulled from some other world? Or was it a tragic accident, brought about as Elisa tried to run or hide from the demons that plagued her mind? We would love to hear your own theories and ideas about this chilling case. If you have enjoyed this episode, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PixelElixir, and subscribe at BitesizedFrights.com to make sure that you never miss any of our terrifying tales. This has been a Pixel Elixir production, narrated by Chris Kay. Thank you for listening. Until the next bite, my friends.